Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, let me get back to this beef protest. Because a lot of you, I suppose, are hearing about it because it is the top story on the news. But yet, we kind of disassociate ourselves from the story because it doesn't really affect most of us as long as we can get a steak on a Sunday. But now it's starting to affect people as well because, as I said to you earlier on today, I spoke to two people, it's two staff in here. And although we're in the city and I suppose we're disconnected from rural Ireland in some sense, we are now seeing a lack of beef on the shelves. We'll probably see the price of beef going up, of course. Now, the ABP food group has now confirmed today that it's going to lay off 355 staff temporarily at its plant in County Tipperary as a result of the ongoing dispute. And it was reported yesterday that protests are continuing at the gates of meat processing factories across the country, despite the fact there was actually a deal struck between farmers and the meat industry on Sunday. An agreement was reached between farmers and beef processors following the talks for 30 hours organised by the Agricultural Minister Michael Creed over the weekend. And in an interview he said, "I think in any negotiations there has to be compromises endorsed by all of those parties around the table. The point we're making to those beef farmers is their voice has been heard. This as much as can be done in this moment in time. We are at a tipping point now. There's a bigger picture here. We're an internationally trading country and our reputation is important to us." Now, it also says this morning as well, the ABP confirmed that it is temporarily laying off 355 staff at its Carra plant as a result of the ongoing illegal blockades of the site. It also warned that a further 182 jobs are threatened to be laid off before the end of the week. And a statement, ABP said that protesters have stopped any product going in or out and leaving the site and the production has to be ceased. Furthermore, the illegal blockades are impacting seriously on the thousands of beef farmers who supply cattle to the site. And the company said it will stay in contact with impacted staff members and provide them with regular updates. And the agreement reached between the beef farmers and the beef processors was based upon increased bonuses for the farmers and the dropping of all legal actions in exchange for an end to the blockades at the factory gate, which hasn't really happened because there are still farmers there. Not all farmers actually agreed to it, and pickets have remained outside a number of factories yesterday. So to get a bit of an update and to kind of give you a clearer picture of exactly what is going on, I have on the line Dermot O'Brien, who's part of the Beef Plan Movement. Dermot, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Dermot, this is a complicated situation which is starting to affect everybody, including people losing their jobs, the price of beef being on the counter, or they should say the shelves in supermarkets now. So it's now affecting, I suppose, the city dwellers. So we're all taking an interest. But what stage are we at now where we've had 30 hours of consultations, farmers agreeing to go with... Now, I'm not going to go into the whole list of all the agreements because it's quite complicated, but there's still farmers standing outside gates.
Yeah, well, first of all, the farm organisations, Niall, went to those talks in good faith to try and agree and, a way forward and a future for the beef farmers in this country. Now, the biggest issue that we have, I suppose, as farmers, is that we're not in receipt of a fair price for our produce. So, like, the cost of production... For your listeners now this morning, the cost of production for a kilo of beef in this country is about €4 top 10 cents.
So that's what the farmer gets?
That's what the farmer has to invest to pay for ingredients and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so somebody has to pay to feed the cow, look after the cow, veterinary bills, etc., etc. Yeah.
That's correct. And then the meat processors at the minute are paying roughly a base price of €3.45 for the kilo to the farmer. So the farmer is not actually meeting their cost of production, and this is their main beef, excuse the pun, this is their main beef of the situation. So, like, farmers then took the picket lines...
Okay, but I want to break that down a bit more for the general public who might have an idea of this. So the farmer's only getting about $3.75, you reckon? And how much is the processor getting for that kilo?
Well, from the retailer?
How much is the retailer paying the processor?
Well, the breakdown, we've done a breakdown there, I suppose, maybe about 6 months ago. The percentage share that the retailer has from the kilo of beef is about 50%. So when a consumer goes to a supermarket or a butcher or whatever, what they're paying for their kilo of mince or their kilo of steak or their kilo of roast beef what they're paying for that, the retailer...
How much is it? I couldn't even say. How much is a kilo of beef nowadays? About a tenner, is it?
We'll say a kilo of mince can vary. It can be maybe 8 euros to 10 euros, depending on where you're shopping.
Yeah, I bought a bit of mince there on Friday. I actually bought a kilo of mince on Friday, round mince, and it was a tenner, right?
A tenner, yeah.
Okay, and so, it was a nice, good, it was good quality, right? So, so out of that 10 euro, the retailer is making how much? 33%, bit more?
Or 50%.
50%. So, so 5 euro now is left between the processor and the farmer. How much does the processor get now? The 5 euro.
The processor is getting about 30%. We reckon about 30%.
Right, okay. And the farmer's only getting then 2 euro out of that tenner.
Correct.
That, I mean, it's grossly unfair. There's no doubt about it. But how can you fix that, Dermot? Because the processor is obviously... Let's leave the processor out of this just for the moment, right? The farmer gets very little money. The retailer essentially can charge what he wants unless the government steps in and says, we're going to regulate the price of beef like we did with cigarettes and many other products. So,
right.
So realistically, unless you regulate the price of meat... The retailer can charge what he wants. So no matter what the processor gives the farmer, so let's say the processor says, right, I'll give you 4 quid instead of 2. And we're only going to charge, 4 euro as well. So that makes 8. Let the retailer make 33% on that. So let's say he charges 11. But the retailer will just go, Asher, look, we're greedy. We're going to charge 14. We'll make an extra 2 euro. So we can never stop that from happening, can we?
Well, this is the thing now. The farmers are now beginning to kick it outside retail distribution centres. Because the retailers still haven't come to the talks. They've been, it has been requested on so many occasions now to explain why they charge so much for their kilo of beef at the retail outlet. And I'll tell you another thing.
Because they're greedy, Dermot. That's the reason, isn't it?
I suppose yes.
If they can get it, if they can get 40 or 50% markup, sure they're going to do it.
Well, business is business. Retailers charge so much for the kilo. Look, we're all in business, and the farmers, are trying to operate a business as well. And to be fair about it, they haven't got the respect that they
deserve. I agree with you, and I think everybody listening today agrees that the farmer's being ripped off here. Okay, we all, and don't get me wrong, I know there's people sitting at home going, there's no such thing as a poor farmer. But, it's a struggle, it's a tough job. Somebody has to raise the cattle, But
Niall, do you know that the average income for a beef farmer last year, and this now includes all their payments from the EU, because farmers haven't received a subsidy from the EU, but the average income for a beef farmer last year was €8,300. Can you believe that?
I don't know how somebody is surviving on that kind of money.
Well, I'll tell you...
And getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and working throughout the day.
Yeah, work really hard. We calf cows at all hours of the night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. The animals have to be reared to a certain age level. And, all this is work. It's time. It's time that's invested into rearing a world-class product. We have grass.
But isn't the fear here that if this continues, Dermot, and that the farmers continue to dig their heels in, and I'm not saying I don't support them, I absolutely do support them. I believe they should be getting more, certainly for their kilo, right?
Yeah.
But if they continue to do this, you've got the Lidls and the Aldis and the Tescos and everyone else, they just get their meat in from abroad. And then we're in a worse position.
It's a possibility, but we did a survey now. The Beef Can Movement carried out a survey outside retail units there during the year. We carried out a survey with 2,500 people involved. And, simple questions that the consumer was asked, did they understand what the 30-month upper age limit was? What was the 4-woman rule? And so on and so forth. These are market specifications. And they were also asked, about would they buy Irish beef? Would they buy Irish beef as a premium product? What would their choice be? Would they buy Irish beef ahead of any other product? And the answer was, of course, yes, they would.
Of course, but they're saying that. I would say that if somebody, when I walked out of JC's supermarket last week, which is now Dunn Stores, if somebody had to say to me, do you know if your mince is Irish? I would have just assumed it probably was, right? But, and they said to me, would you buy Irish? I said, no, I'm going to say yes. But when I'm walking around JC's or I'm walking around Tesco's or Lidl or Aldi and I see a nice piece of beef, realistically, most customers don't care where it comes from. I know you think they do, Dermot. I don't believe realistically, on a practical level, they do. They would like to think they do. But I don't. I mean, if they're getting the meat and it looks nice and it's coming from Germany or somewhere up Poland or somewhere else, they probably don't care.
Well,
and I'm not saying Irish beef is far superior. There's no doubt about it.
It's world-renowned.
Absolutely.
Irish beef is world-renowned.
But what I'm saying to you is, I don't want to see the farmers put themselves in a situation here where their product, where they can't sell their cattle anymore, where processors are going out of business and people are losing their jobs.
Well, the farmers now at this point in time are very concerned. And now I just want to point out to your listeners, there are 80,000 herd owners in this country. A herd owner is someone that has one bovine animal in their ownership. There are 80,000 herd owners in this country who are facing a very uncertain future. They're basically facing extinction. They're not.
Okay, but okay. Let me go to the protests. Protest. Yes. I personally believe protesting the processors probably wasn't the right idea. I'm not in favour of blocking up city streets, but why not go out? Why not drive, you know, 1,000 tractors up into the middle of Dublin City and block up the city?
Well,
surely that would get the message home quicker than putting people out of their jobs.
Well, just to explain, like, every citizen in this country has a constitutional right to be able to go out and protest.
Absolutely.
Okay? And everybody has the right to earn a living. So farmers took it upon themselves to protest. Now, the Beef Plan movement organised protests at the very beginning. That was going back, we said, maybe 7-8 weeks ago. And we had strict guidelines for peaceful protest. But unfortunately, you know, we had to stand down our protest because we were in the seat of legal threats from meat processing companies. So the Beef Plan movement had to stand back. So what you have now, the situation that exists now on these picket lines is you've independent farmers.
So you're saying rogue farmers.
I wouldn't use the word rogue.
The rogue protest. They're people who have taken it upon themselves that they're not happy with the deal that was given on Sunday, and they're continuing to protest.
I think most farmers, look, I will be honest about this here. Most farmers agree with the deal. I think the deal is okay. It's an awful lot better than what they had 6 months ago, because 6 months ago they didn't have a deal. But the main issue here, Niall, is, and we'll go back over it again, is price. If a farmer is...
Yeah, but why not? Yeah, but Dermot, okay, and I agree with you. Why don't all the farmers, including the rogue ones, get together, drive your tractors up to the Dáil, block up the whole city if you want to. Not that I would be happy about it, but it's a good protest.
Go to the ploughing
championship. The ploughing championship started today. Why not protest there, where your voices will be heard?
I'm on my way to the ploughing as I speak, but I just want to say this. Blocking up the city of Dublin with tractors is not the answer. Like,
well, putting people out of jobs is not the answer either, Dermot.
No, everybody at the minute, you know, they sympathise with the farm. You admit it as yourself, you sympathise with the farm. And that's a good, decent thing to be able to express your point of view. But, you know, you job losses, and you referred to at the beginning of your interview about job losses. Look, public sympathy, you know, is with the farmer at the minute. And every effort is being made to try and reconcile.
But you will lose, and that's fair enough, Dermot. No, public sympathy is there, but you will lose that public sympathy very quickly.
I don't agree with you, Niall, on that point. Because
when people start losing their jobs and meat disappears from the shelves, then you're going to start losing public sympathy.
Niall, 80,000 farmers living on a very, very minimal
I'm with
income
you.
Is not acceptable. And
I am with you completely, but I think there's other ways of doing it, Dermot.
They have
the right to stand up and protest, but I just believe there's other ways of doing it without job losses, without the fact that...
There is one way of doing it, Niall, and that is that the base price for a kilo of beef that's paid to a farmer, that is augmented in such a way that the farmer has respect. Now, $3.45 a kilo base price is not enough. It has to reach €3.84 before farmers remove themselves and pick it. Like, this is what they're saying now. Now, we gave an undertaking to the Minister for Agriculture during the talks. We gave an undertaking that we would approach the picket lines to speak to all these farmers, which we are currently doing. And we want to do this because we do not want a situation where the beef industry gets into difficulty. We don't want that. Farm organisations do not want this situation.
Well, that's what's invariably what's happening at the moment. And as I said to you already, my biggest fear for the farmers of Ireland is that there's a workaround, and the workaround for the retailers is to import beef. And, you know, if people start getting used to imported beef and the retailers start getting used to selling it and maybe making a bit more money on it, that the Irish farmers are the ones who will invariably lose out, and the processors.
There is one other way out of this. There is one other solution, Niall. Very recently, the Minister for Agriculture authorised and approved a producer organisation. And a producer organisation, this is a mechanism whereby farmers can collectively bargain with a meat processor for the price per kilo paid. Individual farmers or the minister, or you, Niall, you are unable to discuss price. You are precluded from doing so. But through a producer organisation, which the Beef Can Movement is very proud of, we have been involved in setting up the very first producer organisation in this country, and we intend to put that into service immediately. And we are hoping to discuss with meat processors over the next couple of days the possibility of giving a fairer price to the farmers. So this is very, very important to mention so that your viewers can understand, or your listenership can understand where we are at. So the price paid by the consumers for a kilo of beef, what they are paying, the profits and a fairer share is not going back down the line to the primary producer, the farmer, and this has to happen. Although if this does not happen, our beef industry is finished.
Okay, well, look, on that note, Dermot, I have to wrap it up, Dermot, and I do hope, and I do sympathise with the farmers, and I do hope they get a fair deal. But I also am very conscious of the jobs that are being lost currently, and I'm very conscious as well of how it then starts to affect the general public. And from that point, the retailers may start importing beef, and that, in turn, in the long term, would be very damaging to the agriculture and farming industry in this country. I'll take a few callers after the break. Lots of farmers actually texting in as well. And I'm going to speak to Dunica just after the break if I can. What is your view on this? Do you support the Irish farmers and their protests at the moment? People now losing their jobs in processing plants as well. Processing plants saying they can't guarantee they'll even open again. Dunica, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Dunica?
Not so bad, yourself.
Dunica, you're not on the picket line yourself. You are a farmer, but you're not on the picket line at the moment, but you do support
farmers.
I am,
yeah. There's not many factories up around where I am in our end of the country, but I support the farmers 100% because I find it funny that whenever people are starting to talk about this, that every during the conversation, like I seen it on TV last night, and I had a wee laugh, and if you said it yourself, is let's leave the factories out of this for a moment. But if you do that, what are we talking about? Like, that's just a band-aid. Maybe they're on about a few cents per kilo here and there, and it's like where I am. I'm a small farmer, very very rural area. A lot of us are the same around here.
Are you a cattle farmer yourself?
Yeah, beef. Yeah.
Okay.
And I've been trying for the last few years to try and get into other things, like, you know, been planting different things and trying different, just different ways of doing it, because there is no future in this, especially for young farmers.
How big is your herd, by the way?
I have only about a dozen cows altogether.
All right, okay.
So you know, very, very, very small. But like this is why like the pinch is coming in big time. Like I remember when I first started, like I remember I sold a few cattle to the factory. And whenever I went home and done the paperwork, I was like, I'm better off on the dole. Like,
it was costing you more to raise the cow than it was to sell it.
Yeah. And I've been cutting back every year, trying to save here, save there, save everywhere. Like, and I barely...
But Dunica, even an extra 40 cent a kilo, right? If you got an extra 40 cent a kilo, right? That's not really going to make a huge amount of difference anyway, is it?
Not really. Not well, especially to someone with a herd the size of nine. Like, do you know what?
No.
It's very, very, very little. But what my problem is that it's a structural problem that's in the industry. Like, there's a man said it on the Clare Byrne show last night, and he was told to stop, and Clare distanced herself from it. But that's the fact. Like, there's people that can, you know, multiple different factories that have the ear of whoever they want to talk to in government, while the farmers are tied up in, you know, like, these people, it's their job, you know, the factory owners, they can...
I'm not telling for a minute, these factories are making millions, right? There is no doubt about that. And most of them are making huge profits, right? But what I worry about is the staff of these factories, because they're not the millionaires.
I know plenty of them, but from down around the country, down around the Midlands and all like that, and they will side with the farmers before they side with their own
employers, yeah. But in saying that, they don't want to lose their jobs either. And we've just seen 355 more laid off today in County Tipperary.
Yeah, but they realise it's not sustainable anyway. They know that if all the farms are gone, sure, what are they going to be doing? You know, they're hardly going to be paid to stand an empty factory. Like, there's nothing... It's a root and branch issue. Like, you know, from the very, very top down. Like,
but I mean, it's not. I mean, it's not years. A huge deal for you, Donica, because you've only got a dozen cows, right?
Well, that's how I make money and eat and have a house. Like, you know,
wouldn't make a living out of a dozen cows, would you?
Well, sure, this is it. I'm relying on different grants, all that kind of crack. Like, it's just, it can't be done. No matter how you do it, I'm a fairly typical farmer, like farm size.
What's the average herd size in Ireland?
I'm not sure what the herd size is. The acreage is about 35 acres, as far as I remember.
Right, okay.
But
which all has to be maintained and fenced and looked after.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't like to be a farmer. I think it would kill me just to get up that early in the morning and work that hard all day long. And I know that sounds really bad.
It'd kill me not to, you see.
That's what I'm saying. You're used to it. It's a way of life. Okay, so, I mean, it is something that you have to have a passion for. But in saying that, I said to the previous spokesperson there as well, the thing I'm concerned about is that the farmers will cut their own nose to spite their face here. Because, you know, what's going to happen is the retailers are now, they're seeing the result of this because, of course, meat is not on the shelves today and many shops around the country. So they're going to start importing meat.
Yeah, you see, like, this is what I mean. Like, I have to support the farmers in what they're doing because there is no other way. Like, what else can we do? Because they want to bring in this Brazilian beef deal, and so that's going to ruin most farmers altogether. Like, you know, people are... At the moment, like if you're buying a bit of mince or something.
See, but I mean, this is what happened in Britain with the miners. And I don't mean, I know the two are not exactly the same, right? But I'm using the analogy. When Maggie Thatcher basically started closing down the mines because they were bringing in cheap coal from Poland. And it just wasn't worth their while going down the mines to get this coal. Because the British government had to subsidise it constantly. But if the farmers push this too hard and the processors are not taken to task for the amount of money they're making, what's going to happen eventually is it's not going to be worth their while, because if the processor wants to continue to make his money, the farmer wants an extra few quid out of it, and the retailer is pushing his markup up, it's going to be too expensive to buy Irish beef.
It'll go back to your analogy there. Where's the miners in England today? Well, like Tata Steel and everything's gone. Everything, that's all closed up anyway.
Well, it's in India now.
But it's not in England anymore.
No. Yeah. Absolutely.
So we're looking at the same thing. Like,
oh, yeah, it's what you said. It's root and branch, and I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is that, you know, the farmers themselves have to be careful how you approach this particular protest. Because, you know, obviously I would like to see you get what you want. I'd like to see you get the extra 40 cent if that's what it takes, you know, to stop the protest. But you have to be careful how you go about that without damaging the whole industry too much. And that's what's happening right now.
But you see, this is the problem, is that the industry, it's structurally not going to work in the long term. Remember people used to say years ago, break up the banks. You've got to break up them factories too, because a lot of them's working together, and that's how they're dictating the price.
Okay, well, hang on, because I want to go to Ronan as well. Stay there for a second, because Ronan, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Ronan?
Hi, Niall. How are you doing?
You're a beef farmer and dairy farmer.
I'm a dairy and beef farmer, yeah.
Okay, and you're on the picket line at the moment?
I'm not, no. I'm looking at stock here as I'm talking. Yeah, I was on the picket line last night.
Okay, so you weren't happy with the deal over the weekend, no?
It's just like this, Niall. It's all media spin. But you take the whole thing on Sunday that came out. A deal has been struck. A deal has been struck. There was never a deal struck. It was agreed from the farming representatives that this was a deal, that they were going to go back to their farmers, to the picket lines, and see what the story was. But like, Niall, in fairness, when you have one side in one room and another side in the other room trying to negotiate a price, it's never going to work.
No.
Meat Industry Ireland were invited to sit round the table, but Cormac Healy and whoever was along with him refused blank. And this has happened all along. You've seen it on, prime time on Monday night? You had that man from Beef Plan that was on beforehand. He was being interviewed by Miriam O'Callaghan, and Cormac Healy was being interviewed by, can't think of his name.
So the point you're making is they won't come on together.
Meat Industry Ireland, who represent your Dawn Meats, your ABPs, your all these beef processors, they represent all these, and they will not sit down with the farming representatives.
And why do you think there's a lack of will to negotiate?
There's
a lot of money to be made. I know that.
Niall, but the problem is, the farmer is there's a picture out there that the farmer is looking for handouts. Jesus, now, we do not want handouts. That's the last thing farmers want. We want a fair price for a premium product that we are producing. And that has been advertised worldwide that Ireland is producing a grass-fed, quality premium product.
Yeah, but if you listen at the start of the show when he was saying to me that, you know, there was a survey recently outside whatever Tesco's or whatever it was, and they were asking people, did they care if it was Irish beef or not? Or would they go for Irish beef? And most people said, of course I would. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'd probably say the same thing as if somebody asked me outside the shop. But realistically, when you're picking up, you know, your pre-packed, and most big supermarkets are all pre-packed now, that sadly the day of the butcher is fading away fast. So yeah. When they're picking up that bit of beef, they're not looking to see if it's Irish. And this is my fear, Ian, for you and for Ronan and for everybody else, that, you know, beef can be bought from anywhere in the world.
I know it can, Niall, but people don't realise the standards that these countries are meeting. They have no standards. That's the problem, Niall. Like, we farmers in Ireland are regulated. Hoops you have to jump through all the time. And we are being... You know, you have Board B, you have the Department of Agriculture.
And do you think the Irish consumer appreciates that?
I don't think so, Niall. To be honest with you, I don't think so. And I think that's the problem.
The point I'm trying to make is, and sorry, I'm very sure. Actually, do me a favour, stay there. I have to take a break and I'm going to come straight back to you.
Okay,
all right?
Okay.
Stay there, Ian. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. I was going to ask Ian about regulation and government regulating the price rather than just, or should I say, Ian. Rather than just regulating the fact, or should I say, it was Ronan I was talking to, it wasn't before the break, yes, sorry. Rather than just regulating how they make the beef, it's regulating the price. Maybe that's an option. All right, Siobhan of the Midwest says, you're wrong, Niall. I only want to buy Irish beef, etc. It's pure product and the farmers need this industry regulated ASAP. We can't allow Ludlow, etc. to dictate. Another person says, Niall, 100% support Irish farmers. Can't trust that imported meat. But a lot of the times, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just one of these shoppers that goes around on a Friday buying the shopping or whatever and don't actually look when I'm... Well, mind you, yeah, I buy Cairns of sausages because I like them and I look for them. But if they don't have Cairns, I buy something else. And maybe even when it comes to... I know that's pork. Maybe when it comes to beef, I should look. But I don't generally look at the pre-pack to see if it's Irish. But I'm assuming it just is. All right. I want to... Ronan, just getting back to what you were saying there a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
If the only way to solve this, because I'm looking at the deal that was struck on Sunday, right, and it doesn't really address the price of the beef as such, right? So
nope.
The only way to deal with this is how we deal with cigarettes, bread and milk and everything else, where the government and alcohol steps in and regulates the price. So in other words, that everybody gets a fair share. But I don't think the processors would agree with that. And the retailers might just start importing meat. So that's the problem. I mean, whatever way you do it, there's a workaround for everybody else to be greedy.
Yeah, see, it's more of a bigger picture, Niall, than just we say what the farmer is getting. It's like, as I said before earlier on, like Irish beef is grass fed. It's that picture of a cow out grazing grass, perfect green conditions. People from China want it, Niall. But
I know I'd love to give the farmer a fiver a kilo, but in saying that, if I give the farmer a fiver a kilo, the processor's going to charge more to the retailer, and then the retailer's going to charge more to the consumer. So at the end of the day, then the Irish farmer will lose out either way.
I know, Niall, but if you look at it this way, the Irish beef is being sold along with every other beef. It's not being sold as a niche product, if you know what I mean. Like, you look at, and like, you have feedlots in Ireland. You have feedlots in Ireland, and these factories own the feedlots. When the numbers of stock that's available for slaughter goes down, they flood the market then with their feedlots. Now, these cattle don't see the light of day. While the suckler man that's breeding the cow, he calves the cow, the calf is sold as a weaning, another farmer buys that and kills it, we say, rears it, fattens it, and kills it. The feedlot cattle are being branded the same as the grass-fed cattle.
No, I do understand the point you're making. I understand exactly what you're saying. But and obviously we have to be fair to every farmer who goes to the trouble of raising the cattle. Stay, Ronan, just stay there because Mark wants to say something as well.
Yeah.
Mark, you're on Classic Cake. Hits Mark. You work in a processing factory. You don't want to say obviously which one you work in, but you haven't worked since Monday.
Yeah, we haven't worked since Monday, so we haven't.
Right.
Like,
So you're essentially out of a job at the moment.
Yeah, me and a lot of my colleagues, and sure, we're wondering, like, what are the farmers going to do about that? You know, like, they're out for themselves, so they are. They don't care at the end of the day. But they're not going to look after our families. They're not going to. We've mortgages to pay. We've loans to pay back. We've got children. We have hospital bills, things like that. They're not going to look after that. They're just being greedy now at this stage. There was an agreement made there. Why don't you just stick to it?
There was no agreement made. That's the problem.
There was no agreement made.
The farming representatives came out with a deal that they were going to...
Recommendations.
There was no deal signed. No farmers on the picket lines agreed to it. But in relation to...
Hang on now. I don't have much time, and I want to just go back to Mark. Mark, do you agree with the principle behind what the farmers are looking for? I don't understand how it's affecting your job at the moment with the protests, but what the farmers are looking for, do you agree that they're being a bit hard done by?
No, do I agree with what they're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at how much, say, the processor and the retailer is making versus what the farmer is getting, who's the person who's raising the cattle, I mean, do you think he's getting a raw deal? Pardon the pun.
Yeah, in theory, yeah, but, like, that's not for them to go and pick it on everyone's line. That's where they need to go up to Dublin. It needs to be regulated. They need to go up there and sit on fucking whatever Taoiseach's doorstep. They just need to go up there and do it to him.
Ronan, Mark has a really good point there. You know, he's just won another 355 laid off today. You've got processing factories closing down who said they may not even open again. You know, Mark doesn't want to lose his job. I don't know if he's got a family, he's got a mortgage. You know, I mean, there has to be a better way of doing this, Ronan, than putting people out of work.
Yeah, there is a better way, Niall, but I just
want to...
I want to make two points. Right, number one, without the beef farmers that supplying the cattle, those factories wouldn't exist. That's number one.
That's not an argument.
What?
It's not really an argument.
It's just an argument.
Because they do exist.
Number two, if farmers go to protest to Dublin, what's going to be on the newspapers in the morning? The farmers locked down Dublin. After losing 10 million of business. It's a big black mark against the farmer again.
They did do it before on the M50 going back. I remember a few years ago they did it on the M50.
I went to it.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'll be the first one on the show getting callers on giving out about farmers, right?
I'm stuck in traffic for 3 or 4 hours.
Absolutely, but still, it makes a point and it doesn't put people like Mark out of a job. And we don't close down processing plants and the government are not going to want you to do it again.
Well, the thing is, Niall, we are being...
The ploughing is on today. There's your ideal opportunity.
Well, it's the biggest
outdoor event in the country every single year, which involves farmers and processors.
Farmers go down there to relax, Niall. They're not going to go down there. It's only a few days to have of relaxing and getting talking to other farmers and everything else.
So you're not going to protest at the Ploughing Champion because you want to enjoy yourself down there?
But what
about Mark and his job? Come on, has to be fair. Lads, listen, I have to wrap it up. Final word to you, Mark. Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
When the beef starts coming in abroad, and it will come in abroad, I'll be laughing all the way to the bank. Because if I tell you one thing, any farmer, I'll just laugh them. Pint and laugh them, because they've been so greedy at this stage.
Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed, Mark. All right, loads of people, I suppose, in the processing industry probably feel the same way as you do, although many do support the farmers. I have to say, I do support the farmers, but sometimes it can be difficult to have those kind of conversations.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.